Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. The websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. They go to most of the same things all over the place. Feel free to review the show on iTunes if you haven't done so already. Thank you so much. If you need to get a hold of me, it's Jackie at JackieCation.com. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady fixed this audio. Mike Rickberg composed the opening song, sang with his wife, Sarah Cohen. Mike will sing his words to the Mexican hat dance at the end of the program. Vilmos works on the website, JackieCation.com. On the website, JackieCation.com, there's links to this podcast and my comedy podcast with Lori Kilmartin, The Jackie and Lori Show. There are links to watch me do stand-up comedy. My calendar is on there where I'm performing. If you want to support the show, there's merch at JackieCation.com if you want a Dork Forest t-shirt, if you want a stand-up t-shirt, if you want stand-up CDs, there is also a DVD. And the CD and DVD, everything's available streaming. The DVD is streaming on ComedyFilmNerds.com. All of my CDs are available on Amazon and iTunes and Pandora and Spotify and YouTube if you just want to listen to them before you buy them. If you want to support the Dork Forest, there's a couple of different ways. You may PayPal me a donation. That's right. You could also Venmo me a donation just at my email address. You can support the show in a lot of different ways. You can get merch. You can donate directly. That button is available at JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com, and I appreciate any support that you do. There's premium episodes that you can listen to. If you've run through all of the ones that are sort of archived in Blog Talk and then the almost 500 episodes on Libsyn and iTunes right now, and you need more Dork Forest, you can go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. There's probably a dozen live episodes. There's a couple of free things as well, and there's a story time album, which is me telling a couple of stories. Everything's like $1 or $2 or free. Let's get into the show. Hello and welcome to the new setup in my living room. Hopefully the audio is good. My name is Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. And welcome to the Dork Forest, Steve Young.
Steve Brett Young.
Steve Brett Young is what you're going by now because there's too many Steve Youngs.
That's true.
You were on before, but it's been probably 2 years since you did it.
Yeah, it was right after a certain devastating election.
Oh, Christ on a cracker.
Yeah.
We're not
so that's
talking,
almost 2 years. Yeah.
That's
not, yeah, and a few. Whatever.
And the fact that we're still here, huh?
That's, I was thinking about that. Yeah. I mean, like, we're still standing.
Right. We're still standing. We are
back. The we being literally you and I. Not everyone is still standing, but we.
Right.
Yeah.
It is definitely, there's trouble. So the journey continues, and we will see what happens at the end of it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way of it. History just goes. So,
yes.
But the thing is, you do stand up, and people should know that, and they should go and see you because you're very funny, of
Thank
course.
Thank you.
SteveYoungComedy.com and at SteveBrettYoung on Twitter.
Yes.
But my favorite thing, and we're going to talk about the real part of this, but you have a very funny Instagram account that is Studio City Life Coach.
Yes. I love that's last year I realized I was spending way too much time on social media, and I still do, so I thought I might as well use it as a creative outlet. So
yeah.
I've lived in Los Angeles for 20 years, and over the years, it was just sort of, this stuff was all inside me, and it's a very real part of me, and I think that I can't disavow, there's a huge overlap, and there's also some huge differences, but yeah, this guy is he's a licensed shaman, he has PTSD from being a balcony collapse survivor. He is a yoga teacher and a former actor, and he calls himself a breakthrough specialist.
A breakthrough specialist?
Yes.
And it's at Studio City Life Coach on Instagram.
Yes.
And at Studio City Coach on Twitter.
Yes.
And the thing is this is mockery done with love.
Yeah.
You are in that gravy boat, man.
I am, totally, yeah.
You are almost all of those things. You yourself are a breakthrough of life.
Oh, whoa. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I've been doing yoga for 20 years, and every like few years or so, whenever there's a crisis, I'll break down and read a Deepak Chopra or a Louise Hay. And I like a lot of that stuff, but some
sure.
of it, it's just like, ooh, too
it
far.
It doesn't mean it's not mockable. Doesn't
no,
mean.
Exactly.
So you
exactly.
have this parody account, but you really do. Because I genuinely, I have always sort of been hippy skippy, crystal clutch kind of person. Yeah. I got rocks. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping them.
Right.
That doesn't mean the thing that for me, it's the same with all religion and all everything I believe in. I think that it's real. But I also understand that there's a point where it is, you can make fun of it.
Yeah, and when it gets into like black and white thinking, like kind of like with religion, with organized religion, that's when it gets really crazy, where it is just
someone should make fun of it, so you can't take yourself so seriously.
Yeah,
but let's discuss the serious dorkdom of like yoga. I have tried.
Uh-huh.
I am not good at it because it's a learned skill.
Yeah,
and I don't know what I'm supposed to be getting out of it. Moon Zappa has tried to. And we sat there and we breathed and we stretched and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see myself getting into it. What made you like it?
I think it was I was having a really hard time just in life in general at the time. I was a physically I was like 27 going on 50 because I was working in production. I was working on these like low budget music videos as a PA and like my body was just being like,
just harassed.
Yeah, just harassed. So I started going and I don't know, like the yoga teachers, they're very nice people. They're not there to like, it's not like, come on, feel the burn. It's like not that. They're like, Maggie, get up. It's hey, you showed up today. That's amazing. And meanwhile, like in production, they were just so fucking mean to PAs that I was just like, I needed like, oh my God, they're going to be nice to me and I'm going to.
Someone.
Yeah, just a human is nice to me in LA.
Right, for an hour, it was $15.
Yeah.
You got to breathe and
hour
someone
and a half.
Talk.
The classes have gotten shorter since then.
But have they?
They used to be, like an hour and a half, but now I think it's,
Because there's warm up and cool down.
Yeah.
And now it's an hour, so warm up and cool down, so then you're only doing 45 maybe.
Yeah, something like, probably.
And so there's more, so it's yoga is a lot of breathing and stretching, right?
It's a lot of stretching. It's a lot of different things. Like there are different types. I've gotten into Kundalini yoga, which is a lot of like, I was going to demonstrate it, which is a great idea for a podcast.
We're an audio program, but people, Kundalini, I think it starts with a K.
All right, everyone, lay down, especially if you're driving, just pull over and I'm going to lead you through. But it's more active moving and it's not the typical stuff that people think of when they think of yoga.
Because it's more active?
Yeah.
I think of lying there.
Yeah, it's not. It's not that. I mean, the lying down stuff, that's really only part of it at the very beginning. I felt like physically healthier when I did it. Like that's what really like got me into it. Like I was in that, but I was coming from doing absolutely no exercise and always carrying like, 20, 30 extra pounds,
Right.
So it was good for that. But also just like, just the benefits of exercise. I always had exercise like forced on me and I never did it in high school.
You're a giant man.
And it's good for being tall actually, because my posture is crap because I'm always trying to maintain eye contact with people. So,
well, that is very polite.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. You get screwed over.
Like
if you're too polite, you get screwed over in this town. That's the real message.
That is not the real message. But you're like 6'6 or 6'4 or something, right? Yeah. So you're a tall human.
Yeah.
And the Kundalini is more active.
Yeah. You're like shot. There's like, I don't know.
You don't teach yoga. You just do it.
No, hell no. No, because there's stuff I absolutely can't do. And I guess I should explain, like, I dip in and out of it. Like, I'm always, like, trying to stay active, but I will go for, I've never, like, completely gone away from it. But, I mean, there's times where I'm just doing it, like, maybe I did it once or twice that month. But then I'll go through periods where I'm like, I'm doing it, like, 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay.
And I started doing it, like, last summer of last year, I put on the Trump 10. And so I decided to get into hot yoga.
Which is Bikram?
Bikram is very particular. That's like 100. That's a specific series. That's copyrighted, basically. It's a specific series of poses. So like, if you go to Bikram, anything that says has Bikram in the name, it's not up to the teacher's discretion. I think it's like it will be literally the same order again. It's the same.
Oh, okay. So it's more of a franchised yoga.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think that guy is.
And hot yoga is it can be wider.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So you go to your – I'm backing you up on the yoga thing because I need to know.
Okay, cool.
You go initially to yoga.
Yes.
People are nice to you.
Yes.
They get you to stretch.
Which sounds so pathetic when you put it like that, but it's true.
Oh, my God.
I was pathetic.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I genuinely am like, I need someone to be nice to me.
Yeah, I don't want, like, it's so funny, like, whenever I would see gym ads and everyone's, like, ripped and buff, and I'm like, I don't want, that's not encouraging to me. Like,
right. Yeah. It sounds like someone was mean to those people to get them all ripped
and buff. It feels like you're going to be, like, in a room with, like, the John Hughes villains, and I'm Ducky, and I just don't want to, yeah.
Yeah, nobody needs that.
Yeah.
So, so there's you go there. There's a lot of stretching,
mm-hmm.
and then there's poses that you hold.
Yes,
is that mostly what yoga is?
Yeah.
Okay, and it is exercise.
Absolutely, yeah.
In the way that you are winded.
I will get so sweat. I'll totally work up a sweat, and it's not aerobic exercise, but Kundalini can be, aerobic in the sense of, like, getting your heart rate up.
Describe some Kundalini moves or
it's shadow boxing. It's a lot. I mean, there are
– okay.
Trying to think of there's crazy stuff. I'm trying to think of, like, how to, like, succinctly explain it so it's clear to a listener where it's just, like, I mean
– yeah.
Twisting, you know, like, or just standing up, having your legs wide, you know, three or four, you know, and just, like, twisting that way, this way, that way, and, like, really going fast. And
and going pretty fast.
Yeah.
And like, do you start out slow so that you don't, because you, I mean.
Yeah, it builds up. I think, it's very rare that a yoga class will ever start with, like, the heart. I mean, it is just, like.
It doesn't make any sense.
It builds to something. It's sort of, they're artists, man. They know what they're doing.
it actually feels like there are. And
yeah.
So the Studio City Life Coach clearly does yoga.
Oh, yeah. He teaches at a place called Namaste. And he has he'll say things like, hey, everybody, come to my Vinyasa Vibes class at 10:30 on Tuesday. I'm going to have an all Rihanna playlist. And do not park in the nail shop's parking spots because they will tow.
The nail shop. Okay. So the yoga is part of it. And that is something that you're doing right now.
Yeah.
I'll always go back to it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the Studio City Life Coach, it was inspired by last summer.
How long have you had the Instagram account? Yeah.
I started it in September, October of last year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's relatively new.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you put the Trump 10 on, which
I put
is,
the Trump 10. Yeah, I did
must
not
be a real term. Somewhere.
I did not pass up a taco truck for
good months.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I just, like, all right, and I got tricked into hot yoga because I thought it was so horrible. Like, I'm like, yuck.
Because it sounds like it would stink, and
it does not. You mean literally smell?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Yeah, they really, like. I mean, if it's a good place, they'll have, like, proper ventilation. So, yeah.
good. And then you do that. You were talking about, so you put the 10 pounds on,
yeah.
And you're like, I got to get back into
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I would not, I have to say, though, like, I couldn't recommend, like, doing hot yoga ongoingly, like, as your one form of exercise or something. Because
yeah.
I feel like you really do spend the rest of the day rehydrating. I mean,
okay.
You wind up drinking so much water. I don't know that it's necessarily good for you in the long run. I mean, literally, I just did it for the equivalent of a crash diet. I mean, and I will still go, like, once in a while. But anyway, last summer, I was, like, basically buying a Groupon here, a Groupon there, trying this studio, trying that studio.
Okay.
And I started following all these teachers on their Instagram, and that sort of got the ball rolling. And I was going to do, like, Ojai Life Coach, which is this, like, bougie, for people not
yes.
in California. It's
right.
like this,
it's
like, fancy
town.
Schmancy. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I don't really know enough about that place. And I think it's funnier to be, like, down and dirty, Studio City.
Valley, yeah.
Yeah, this guy loves Marshalls on Ventura Boulevard. And, and guess who else does? Steve Brett Young.
Right. So, but the, I had a question. It was gone. But the, so you, as exercise, though, yoga, you would recommend just normal yoga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's got to be really good for fitness wise and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel and I think it's more proportional. You don't, like, overdevelop in one area. It's not like, you know, it's just good. Like, and I also tried around that same last year during the the operation Lose the Trump 10. I tried CrossFit, and, like, I like yoga a lot more because I would feel it. I mean, like, I'm sure if I kept at CrossFit, but it was just not.
What is? I mean, I've heard of CrossFit, but
this is not my dorm room at all. I didn't even use up the rest of the Groupon. So I mean, like, I remember locking.
Who knew Groupon was still a thing?
Yeah.
Is it still a thing now?
I mean, I get emails from them. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, you can, people are like, I want to advertise. And so for $15, you could take 3 classes or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I just felt like it was, you know, there was so much running involved. And I think I was going to try and blame it on my tallness, but I mean, just like, I don't like running. I mean, yeah. I used to love it, but it's not good for my knees. So I would like, after I would take these CrossFit classes, I would just feel like, you know, ow, you know? And yeah. I think if I really got into it, it would probably get better. But with yoga, I just felt like I just feel awesome at like the rest of the day. Like, I just like how I feel. So it just seemed like a easy choice.
Good way to go.
Yeah.
So other than that, you mentioned Deepak Chopra and Louise Hay.
Yes.
And I have read, I don't know that I've read any Deepak. I had a, and I've told this story before, but it is worth repeating. Oh, I had a therapist in the probably late 90s, early 2000s. So the one time I went to therapy, went to therapy for probably 3 years. Mm. And she had written a book called Are You in Love with a Vampire? And she meant an emotional vampire.
Right,
but,
yes, I'm with you.
But Buffy was out, and I was like, what's happening? And and the thing is she was a great therapist. Her name is Helene Z. Harris. Her name was Helene Harris, but the Z, I think, was much like Steve Brett Young.
Yeah.
A lot of Helene Harris's out there.
Yeah.
So she had a website, HeleneZHarris.com. Mm. Don't know if it still exists, but it had lightning bolts on it in the early 2000s.
Yes.
And she did a lot of, like, the therapy. It was before it was very popular where you tap on your face.
Yeah.
ED something.
I've done that.
So you tap on your face and you talk about sad things or things that are terrible and or things that are – who knows what people talk about. But then it's supposed to sort of – because I guess if you talk about your emotions while you're doing something else – this is what I thought of it. Probably not the real science on it. But I always thought, well, if I'm busy concentrating –
I love misinforming people about science. I think that's a great service.
Somebody look this up. Welcome to the Dork Forest, where Jackie has an opinion about things she doesn't know anything about.
My dorkdom is being wildly inaccurate about things.
But I thought it felt like – it was easier to talk about, like, harder things to talk about if I was also on task. You know, like, she's like, tap your chin, tap under your eye, follow the stick. She'd be like, all right, above your eyebrow, on the top of your lip. And she's like, as you talk about that, tell me who hurt you or whatever, right? And it ended up sort of she would get more – I don't know if it gave her more information or if it led to more revelations, but it was kind of a cool therapy thing. And she was a big one for rocks. She was a big one for a lot of different, and she wore a lot of flowing clothes, looked like a dragonfly.
Oh, nice.
She was a pretty awesome lady. And what other things like that? Because you were like, I do that. I have the PTSD. You've got the...
Oh, yeah. I have PTSD, everyone.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. Exactly.
Some people don't.
I'm such a bandwagon jumper. It's not even a big revelation anymore. It's just like, next.
Well, and it was Afghanistan 2003. No, it was... But you're out about it, you were telling me. So it's,
oh, yeah. I do stand up about it. And, you know, because what's more funny than that?
I think it is, actually, because the thing is, you know, with stand-up, it's one of those things where you're like, you're never alone. I, too, have horrible...
Well, I'll just say it right now. I said it's part of my set. Well, basically, when I was 15 and first realized I was gay, there was a gay-bashing murder in my hometown, and it was such a homophobic period and place that sympathy lied with the murderer. And these two guys, they were not that much older. They were like 19 and 21, not much older than I was at the time, or I think 18.
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah, so they went home with it. They went to a gay bar. They sought him out, pretended they were gay, went home with him, and killed him there. So it was just like...
Jesus.
It was, yeah, the freak out fact. I'm getting like a little emotional, or just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something going on in my like upper chest right now when I'm talking about it, even though like I will talk about this on stage. Oh, but... What I do like, I'll just say this very quickly, we can get back to this, but like I do like in my stand-up, I say it exactly like that. I just say, well, I'm going to pull off the Band-Aid now. I can't just say I have it and let you all think I went to war or something. So blah, 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 gay-bashing murder, the whole town sided with the murderers. And then I just, like, look at the crowd and have this, like, huge elongated pause, and I just say, anyway, guys, you guys have been so fun. Thank you so much. I pretend I'm leaving them on that, and then there's more, but it's I like pulling up to a Marina Del Rey sports bar and just being like, you want to see the Broncos play tonight, but guess what? I'm processing stuff. Right. Too bad.
We're in this together.
Sorry, straight guys. There's probably blood on your hands for something, so you deserve to hear this.
Right. And quite honestly, I mean, there are things like that affect us, and that is the definition of it, right?
Yeah.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome, or shell shock, or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, is a response to something horrible that has happened. And if you never address it, then you live with the symptoms of that, without processing it and living with the solution of that.
Yeah, and what I've learned is also that you get it if you cannot act out your fight or flight. So in that situation, I couldn't do either. You know, just like, you know, just frozen.
Because you're 16,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of the root of it. I think, two guys can be in the same battle in Iraq or Afghanistan. One will get PTSD from the same incident and one won't. And it's not clear. Well, I guess that doesn't really apply in that situation because I guess they would anyway, but.
Well, they'll have different responses
to
it.
Yes, exactly.
And I love the definition of it as not being able to do fight or flight.
Yeah.
Because if you can't, if you're frozen, essentially, and that will create that'll reenact in your life until you address it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's got to be, you've read books. How do you deal with PTSD? How do you process it?
By finding a career that pays nothing and places external validation on how much people laugh. Honestly, there has been, not to sound all new agey, but I fucking love talking about it on stage. I fucking love that last year I paid my rent by talking about this really horrible thing that messed me up for such a long time. And it was so crazy. So, and I even did a show. It was pretty wild. I did a show. I was opening for Maria Bamford, and I talked about it. The show went fine.
Sure.
I was having my celebratory cheeseburger afterwards during her set, just sitting in the crowd.
Yep.
And a fight broke out during a fucking Maria Bamford show, which is the weirdest thing.
What?
And then,
where?
Was
that one in like the improv or something?
It was – probably don't want to say. Like.
Oh, it was one of those larger venues.
It was
right?
a larger venue, yeah, and it's like nothing has nothing to do with the venue itself,
at all.
Anyway. So yeah, it was not the. It wasn't anyway. But afterwards, we're sitting around, like some people that knew Maria came to the dressing room or the green room afterwards, and we're all hanging out and talking, and like they were near where the fight broke out, and it happened because one guy called the other a fag, and I just he got thrown out, and I just thought it was such a trip, like it didn't affect. I mean, that would have been, like, in another time, that would have been like, oh, my God, there's homophobia everywhere.
Right.
I think, like, and I'm talking, and society has changed so much, too. I can't discredit that for, you know, being a huge part of, like, why things are better for me personally. But I thought it was so wild that someone got thrown out for calling someone a fag. And it was just like, perturbed. It's like, I'm making my money tonight. I'm having my cheeseburger and I just fucking killed. So whatever.
That's great. And have you had people come up and say, no, I appreciate the dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have actually. Yeah.
It's whenever I do anything, I get kind of proud of it too. If I write a bit that's about something super hard.
Yeah.
And then if you can make it funny, mm-hmm. if you can figure out a way, because that heals it for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I did I do a lot of jokes about my dad,
mm-hmm.
and my siblings are like, you make me see him in a different light, and in a way that is more sympathetic.
Oh, that's
and
great.
It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, if I can, because my father isn't going to change.
Mm-hmm.
There's no changing the other person. You can only change your own perspective.
A 1,000,000% agree.
Right. So, I mean, and so you could also not hang out with people who you're like, well, I'm never going to change. I can't change that person. He's a monster. I'm not going to hang out with a monster, which is you also changing yourself as well.
Yeah.
Because before, you would have just stood in the periphery of a monster and allowed him to be monstrous to you or her to be monstrous to you instead of just bailing and starting over with possibly a nice yoga class.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I have to say, from knowing you and your stand-up, like, I do appreciate appreciate his financial advice about like having a number if you don't want to do something.
Never say no without a number.
Yeah.
It is one of his. It's a gem. He's got a bunch of them, but that's one that really blew Maria away. So she does that bit about him, and then sent him an avocado of the month as payment. She was going to send him money, and I said, "Please do not send my father money. He has a gambling problem." And then she sent him chocolate for like 6 months, and then. I was like, and then he kept bragging about it because he enjoys a tiny blonde lady, and Maria Bamford is a tiny blonde lady.
She is, yes, yeah.
And so he's like, she likes me. And I was like, I don't know that that's true, but okay. She doesn't dislike you. She barely knows you, Dad. Right. We can leave it at that. So I sent him some chocolate, and he was like, when she stopped sending him the chocolate, and he was like, well, you don't need to send me any chocolate. I can just go buy chocolate. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's not the chocolate, and it's literally just Maria Bamford and it being a tiny blonde lady that you barely know, but who is very pretty.
Yeah.
And I did not say any of that to him because that isn't even conversation. I just processed that alone, which is where it needs to be.
Good call.
He is a piece of work, continues to be a piece of work. Just had breakfast with him about a week ago. I went and did Lady Parts Justice League.
Oh, yeah. How was
for
that?
For Liz Winstead. It was amazing. I mean, those guys, there's like 10 of them, and every summer they travel around and they help a privately owned healthcare center in states, right? There's usually like two Planned Parenthoods and one privately owned healthcare center. And the privately owned healthcare center will also provide abortions, but they'll also provide pap smears and mammograms and these health things. And I went and did the one in Milwaukee, and across the street there was a creepy fake clinic that didn't even have a doctor.
I heard you talking about this. Yeah, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and so it was weird. So I was talking to my dad a couple of days ago, and he keeps telling me about the women he likes. And I wanted him to stop.
Tell me what you want to hear.
Right. And and he's never dirty, and it's never – it's usually just weird. Mm-hmm. And so – but he's not blue or anything. I mean, he doesn't make it gross. Mm-hmm. It's just annoying.
Yeah.
So I told him essentially a dick joke that I was working on to get him to stop talking to me. And it worked. He was like – I said, sorry to go blue, Dad, but I can't hear about anymore how your new nurse is very pretty. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I know you're 81. I'm glad you're still excited about people. Mm-hmm. But I don't –
bam. Can't. Base in your face.
That's it. My ad. I'm about to do an ad. This is another ad for Tomboy X, which is underpants and loungewear and sleepwear. Go to tomboyx.com/dork and check out their special bundles and pack pricing. And the Dork Forest listeners get an extra 15% off your first order with the code DORK. Ditch whatever you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear and go to tomboyx.com/dork. And you could put in the code DORK and you'll get 15% off. Regardless of where you fall on the size or gender spectrum, Tomboy X offers amazing underwear that anybody feels comfortable in. I got like a long swimwear kind of thing that's super cozy, and also just a pair of sort of long underwear that kind of look like boxer briefs but don't have a fly because I don't need a fly. But they are bright pink, and I'm pretty psyched about them. Just ordered them. Anyway, if you go to tomboyx.com/dork, just look around. You get 15% off your first order if you enter the promo code DORK. Let's get back into the show. Anyway, so I have not read enough Deepak Chopra. I think I read one Deepak Chopra book, which is where Helene Z. Harris's book, I'm in Love with a Vampire, was going to send me to. Because she recommended a Deepak Chopra book, and I think I read it probably 12, 15 years ago.
I don't know that I recommend. I mean, like, now that he's written now about, like, you know, the Zen of golf. I mean, he's just churning one out every year just for the sake of, like, sure, I'd like to make $10 million this year or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when I was brand new, you know, grounds, when you're like
trying to figure out.
Yeah, I moved to LA when I was like 23 and trying to figure out my life. So I was I read The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron and did that whole thing. Which is, you know, on the surface, is just more about, like, getting in touch with your art and, you know, all that.
Oh, right, because the idea of the artist's way is that you're blocked. And, yeah. But even if you aren't blocked, I think it has a workbook component to it.
Yeah, I was doing the workbook, and one of the things they make you do is it has some, like, hippy-dippy, new-agey stuff around the edges, you know?
Sure.
She wants you to do the morning pages where you write 3 pages every morning.
Oh,
but,
right,
I mean,
right.
I was doing that, but I found those a couple of years ago, and it felt so good to throw them in the shredder. It was not like, oh my God, this is so funny. It was just like, I was miserable. And also
right.
I drank the Kool-Aid about like that particular thing. And I was just like, I'm here to be a writer. I'm here to write for TV. I'm here to do it. And I like, you know, was just nervous and like afraid about money and afraid about everything. And, so yeah.
But the great thing about, if I remember correctly, because I haven't done The Artist's Way, I have mm-hmm. genuinely 3 copies of it around this house. Because I keep thinking, well, I should do it again. And then I buy a new copy, and then I find the other 2 copies. But it's the morning pages. You're not supposed to keep them. You're supposed to throw them out anyway. But it's so hard for us to throw out anything we've written because we're like, maybe there's some gold in there.
Yeah, I wasn't keeping it because I thought there was gold. I was like, yeah, I might be curious someday. But it was just so repetitive. And it was just, it bummed me out.
And it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be because if I remember correctly, the point of the morning pages, it's 3 longhand, free-flowing.
Exactly.
And you're supposed to just essentially vomit out every negative thought that you have. And it just sort of it's supposed to clean slate you for the day.
Exactly.
And so if you can do it and you're writing huge. If I remember correctly, I started writing bigger and bigger so I could get through these 3 fucking pages.
Yeah, it felt like a slog. It wasn't like the spiritual, and that's probably more common on what I was doing and where I was
right.
and all that. So, you know,
whatever. And you didn't really find them of a lot of use. Like I know people who still do them.
Oh.
Like I had a guy on the Dork Forest who only did chapter 1. Of The Artist's Way.
Oh, okay.
And he never made it to chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, there's other things, like there's other tasks, there's other workbooky tasks.
Did he feel like he'd gotten something out of chapter 1? Or was
For
just
6
like,
years
this is
he'd been writing, it was
oh.
Joe Zimmerman. He did an episode of The Dork Forest,
okay.
and he was talking about, because he does a lot of self, different people have come on and talked about sort of the way, the self-help
I'm
stuff.
Shocked to hear that.
Shocked to hear it in the entertainment industry.
Right.
But the great thing about every Dork Forest is that the perspective, the only thing that becomes repetitive is this one, right here, me.
Yeah.
I have the same 9 stories about almost everybody's dorkdom. But so did you do all 12 chapters?
Oh, yeah, I definitely finished it. I was in it to win it, baby. You know, that's what I did, the morning
Completist.
Pages. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I felt so fantastic throwing out those books, though. I just read the top. I was like, let's see what's here. And it was just like, I'm ready to confront painful truths. I'm like, goodbye, in the trash, peace out, fuck this.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, but there was, I did get actually a pretty good writing exercise that I've talked about before, which is where you break down your life into 5-year chunks.
Oh.
And if you break your, and that was like chapter 2 or 3 or something like that, because
oh, okay.
I never did finish it. I think
okay.
I did up to chapter 11
oh.
once.
All right.
And then up to chapter
good.
7, and then up to chapter
How
4.
How many chapters? Is it?
There's 12.
Okay.
It's because I think she's in a 12-step program.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it has sort of that groovy kind of, you got to let go, let other people be themselves.
Right.
And you got to be your best self, and you just be of service.
And you got to get some alimony. From Martin Scorsese. Ooh, I went
Wait
there.
Wait a minute. Oh, that's right.
There.
She was married to Martin Scorsese. You know, I had Beverly D'Angelo on. She was married to Pacino.
That's right. Yeah.
She has 2 kids with Al Pacino.
Yeah, I listened to that episode. That was funny. Yeah.
Her dorkdom was Cities of the World that she loved dearly and how they changed her life.
Oh.
So it was kind of self-helpy.
Yeah.
So there's that one, The Artist's Way.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an early Deepak Chopra book that was kind of great.
Yeah, it was the huge bestseller when I moved out, The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success.
And that's it.
Yeah. So I read that, and I think what I got out of it was like the advantages of meditation. So
okay,
and I had already taken a Buddhism class in college, so I sort of was doing a little meditation then. So I also still meditate, you know, not every day. I'm not,
but as needed, kind of thing.
Yeah,
because I mean the thing is,
or if I have time,
right? Well, yeah. I mean, if you, like yoga and like all these things that you have good. Habits
yes.
from the sound of it.
Yeah.
And you have the tools, you know where to go if you're driving yourself nuts. You're like,
yeah, that's
clearly,
a good point. Yes.
I should do some meditation.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Or I should do some yoga or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm still like most people. It's not like I do that stuff so I can have this like monastic spiritual life and I'm like going around talking about chakras. It's like I got my dick jokes that I like. I've got you know, like I
sure.
like I like Chipotle, you know, I like all the
oh,
things.
You enjoy a nice
all
Chipotle?
The secular things. more of a Baja Fresh person. It's sort of heartbreaking that they're you know, they're still open, but they're very far and few
they're
between.
Dwindling. They're
I feel
dwindling.
Like, yeah, that was well, the year that I actually moved
was it
here
a blow?
Was like Baja Fresh. I was just like, yes, this is. My
I
thing.
Discovered Baja when I first moved here. That's true.
I
was like,
it.
What is this madness?
It is
because previously I had just seen Taco Bell, and because you know Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Oh, there's like the filet
in '97.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
there's literally there's no reason.
I'm from Connecticut, and our Mexican restaurant, my hometown, was Chili's. So
oh my
I
god.
Know what we're talking about.
And it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So in the last 20 years, like when I go home to Minnesota or Wisconsin, there's amazing Mexican food now. And it's sort of like, you know, 100 years ago, there was no Italian food until the Italians
That's
all
true.
Moved
yeah,
over.
Yeah.
And there was, and you know, you wanted fish and chips. No, there was always fish. There was always shitty British food,
right,
you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That had never. There was never any problem finding
yeah.
that.
None,
since
of,
the
none
pilgrims.
Of the foods for people with melanin in their skin.
Right, they had to all come and immigrate,
yeah.
and then they had to melt. It was
yeah.
a delight. So yeah, so I like Baja Fresh. So you like the secular stuff, but you
absolutely.
Also
well, stand up comedy. I mean, how can you? That would be.
Right.
Yeah.
The frozen taquito
like,
is on every menu.
Yes.
In a shitty sea room across this great nation. So Deepak Chopra and then Louise Hay.
Yeah.
A friend of mine turned me on to that. You can heal your life.
Yeah, I think that book was good. It was just that the title alone is so helpful because I do, you know, I have gone through periods where I'm like, this is hopeless, and it's just nice to have that reassurance. But it is like, there's some stuff that I just can't stand where it's like, oh, if you have cancer, that's because you've been angry. It's like, you're awful to say that. Like,
right.
That is a horrible.
She had cancer and she cured it through a series of chanting and throwing rocks at the moon. But the thing is she also, her body didn't die of cancer.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's such a crapshoot with cancer and
yes.
with some of these diseases. When you think about Stephen Hawking, he had ALS.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived for, what, 30 years with it?
Yeah.
Most people live about 2 years with Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And it is, yeah, and it depends where you come into it. And
Damn.
They don't have any way to stop it or slow it down.
Ugh.
And he had all the money in the world.
Yeah.
So maybe there is a way to slow it down.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have all the money in the world, because that will correct a lot of things. It will elongate a lot of lives.
Yeah, and I think she, like Louise Hay, I mean, she just mentions in the book, like, offhandedly, like, if it grows, eat it. If it doesn't, don't. So I think, like, she was eating, like, exclusively vegetables for a very long, I mean, if
right.
that's, if she was actually living that way, then, yeah, I guess it would make sense she'd be able to have
right.
some advantage in kicking cancer for being a vegetarian forever.
Right. And who, I mean, and I know people who lived amazingly sort of clean lives and died of cancer.
Yeah.
And some of them refused to do chemo and some of them did chemo and died anyway.
Mm.
And you're like, I have a friend of mine who is working on the cure for AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that they had a big breakthrough and it was pretty great. And I said, like when I see her, which is about once a year, I say, how's it going? How's the cure for AIDS coming along?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, still not there, still not there. And then she goes, 1 year was hilarious, probably like 10 years ago. She goes, we're better than the cancer people though, because we know what causes it. And because no one knows what causes cancer.
That's a good point, yeah.
And so, but the Louise Hay, yes, because it's, Louise Hay has a boatload of affirmations. Her thing
yes.
is affirmations, right?
Yeah.
And they're in the back and they say, what causes your neck problems? Well, first of all, you're not looking around enough. You're
yeah.
not seeing other people's perspective. Like if you have joint problems, in the back of the Louise Hay book, You Could Heal Your Life, it says that you're not being flexible enough. Like it's all wordplay.
If you have belly fat, it's because you have a sense of like there's not enough. It's a belief in scarcity. It's like, I eat at Baja Fresh 3 times a week. I mean, like, I don't, but I mean, like, it's,
right.
there are other things. And I think it's like the black and white thinking is sort of what, where
it
I'm
is
just
enormously
like,
remarkable.
Right, that's scary.
But I will say that her book has, this might be my dorkdom, Jesus, but, and the, because the thing I – because I got turned onto it by an old roommate of mine, comic Jennifer McLean, and who used to do stand-up. And she was telling me about the book. She bought me the first copy of it, I think. And it was there's not a workbook, but it's a task that is in the first couple of chapters. And it's you do an affirmation in your head, something like – I believe it to be 400 times a day. And you say, I love and approve of myself.
Yeah.
I love and approve of myself. And you don't have to write it down. She has writing tasks as well where you write down affirmations. But that one, the saying it in your head, and it, you would, I would do them in bursts of 10 to just try to make sure I was trying to get, you know, 400 a day.
Yeah.
And what it was supposed to do, and it did successfully – is alert you to when you are having a negative thought.
Oh, okay.
Because if you say, I love and approve of myself, I love and approve of myself, I love and approve of myself in your head 10 times, and then you're going through and you're like, oh, I'm a fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Do 10 I love and approve of myself in response to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you end up doing that like 30 times a day, you realize how often you think sort of shitty things about yourself. So that book actually helped me a great deal, though I did – like when you're in a coma, one of the affirmations is that you're supposed to say if you're in a coma. Wait a minute. if you're in a coma, it turns out you're hiding from something. And you want to go, Louise –
Are you making this up or is this actually
No, work? That's in the – I have the book.
Holy shit. I have it too.
You got to look up coma. And I was like, well, maybe she means the people who are sitting at your bedside should say, I accept and approve of my life, or I'm willing to look at things. I mean, it's so weird.
It's so weird. I also like – I just want to be like how did she work that all out? Like was there a first draft where it's just like, no, that's too weird.
She's like the Tony Robbins of self-help though. She would have like those big – I think she's passed away now. But
She died last year, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Last year, like within couple of years.
Yeah, okay. Because I know she was – like when I read it, it was 20 years ago and she looked like she was 70 then.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, she lived a good long life.
She did. Yeah, yeah.
And but I she would have these things in Vegas. Because it wasn't Jennifer. It was some other friend of mine who was like, do you want to go to one of her seminars? It's $600. And I was like, where am I going to get? What?
Right.
No, I don't. I have the book. That'll be enough. At this point, it was $22.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what happened to the book Jennifer gave me. I had to buy another copy. It's probably three copies of it around this house, right, with my Julia Camerons. And so what about – what other books have
– Okay. So PTSD-wise, I've read well, actually, there's only two that I've read. And the one that I'm doing – I can't remember the authors of the other one. It wasn't that good, so I'm not really getting to get into that. But I'm reading one now. I'm not finished with it, but it's blowing my mind. It's called The Body Keeps the Score, and it's about how your physical body actually keeps holds on to trauma and like how it's still you know, and they do recommend yoga in the book for that. And I feel a little like out of my depth here because I'm sort of skimming it. Like a lot of it's very scientific too, where I'm like hypothalamus, this, that, and the other, like your frontal, you know, all that. But I mean,
is it thick? Or is it just dense? It's big.
I think it's like three or 400 pages.
Okay.
I mean, but it is like some of it is a bit too scientific.
And it's kind of technical. So
kind of technical, but then it's kind of technical, but also I'm just sort of learning. I mean, basically the gist of it is like what I've gotten out of it is move your body around. You know, like that's good for specifically good for PTSD. So
what's it called again?
The Body Keeps the Score.
Yeah.
It's either The Body Keeps the Score or The Body Knows the Score, and it's by Bessel van der Kolk.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is that is something that I was told that, you guys, I got a history of hippie skippy theology.
I'm in the right place.
And you're in the right place. It was back in the 90s, and I tried to go macrobiotic in 94 to 95. Mm-hmm. I was going to be gluten-free and macrobiotic.
Wow, early adapter, too.
Early adapter, unwilling to give up beer. Uh-huh. Turns out both of those things are not possible when you are still drinking alcohol. So, and the thing, the But so I was trying everything except for stop drinking. I literally was like, oh, my life is a mess. Why is it such a disaster? And I was like, I bet you I should get Rolfing, which is, I mean, I did self-help books.
I've heard you talk about that before, I think. I want to try that.
And the Rolfing thing, what it does is it is, it was created by a woman doctor, one of the very first women who went to medical school in the United States in the 20s. And her son had some sort of physical disability where he could not move his legs. Mm-hmm. And she started studying. This was in Colorado, and she ended up opening up this Rolfing school. Mm-hmm. And her name might have been Rolf. I don't think it was.
Okay.
But what Rolfing is it elongates the fascia covering all of your muscles and tendons. Mm-hmm. There's this sort of you know, when you have you could see it in meat. It's like a membrane that's over it. And what Rolfing does is it works that membrane to loosen it and mm-hmm. to make it sort of like stretchier mm-hmm. so that what it ends up doing, especially around your joints and stuff, is that your bones can reset themselves.
Oh.
And it can improve your posture. You can get like, I don't know, like another 3/4 inch or 1.5 inches of height.
Oh, wow.
Because of it. And you are much more relaxed. But one of the side effects of Rolfing, supposedly, and I say supposedly because I mock everything, but this is, it happened to me. Mm-hmm. So let's say that it is, in my experience, a true thing, mm-hmm. is that when they work on your different muscles, you can have emotional reactions. Mm. One of the emotional reactions I had, because my Rolfer was an enormously handsome gentleman, was when he was working on my groin. That reaction was just that wasn't emotional. That was full on physical, and too much info. Yeah. But
where's the strip mall?
In Minneapolis, who's a perfectly handsome blonde man from Colorado, I remember working on my forearm. Mm-hmm. And it's my right forearm, for some reason, that is the hand that I do a lot of writing with. Mm-hmm. And when I used to write a lot of longhand.
Okay.
At the time, it was a lot of longhand. It was early 90s, right. mid-90s. And I remember genuinely crying about stuff and having emotional experiences when some of the different joints were worked on and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And so the body holds on to And I was told that in Rolfing is that it holds on to these memories. And if you can get the body work, mm-hmm. the body work can help you also process it.
Yeah. That Kundalini yoga I was talking about earlier, it's supposed to be good for PTSD. There's a friend of mine teaches Kundalini, and she said that it's helped her PTSD. And I mean, that's just like, I don't understand the science of it, but I, you know, believe from my own personal experience. Like, I do feel... you know, like I'll do, there's a lot of YouTubes on Kundalini yoga. So that's what I'll do. I'll just like do that in my apartment. And,
sure.
It's, they'll say things like, you know, and this posture is good for confidence or something like that. And most of the time I think it's like either they're being metaphorical or like that. I used to feel like bullshit, but I will feel like, oh yeah, I do feel better. You know, I will feel
right.
something. I'll feel different, you know, afterwards. And it could just be like, I used to think it was strictly just the endorphin, just the endorphins you get from any exercise.
Or it was psychological or something. Yeah. Yeah. But it very easily, I mean, all psychological, like, I know I read some book that was talking about how we take medicine to feel better. Like, if mm-hmm. you don't feel well, you can take pills and you can take medicine. And if you think about it, everything you put in your body will affect your mood and it will affect your health. So if you eat good foods, that is a medicine of a sort.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, if you think of, like, when you eat crap, you tend to feel a little less good.
Yeah.
You know, you can slow you down, you can feel bloated, mm-hmm. you can feel just kind of high or...
Regrets.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, oh, I have a sugar headache.
Yeah.
Even an ice cream headache. But so it makes sense to me, it doesn't not make sense to me that the physical and the psychological would be connected. Yeah. Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah.
Because everything you do with your body affects your mind, and everything mm-hmm. you do with your mind, I don't know that that's true the other way. I undo that one.
Everything exactly, yeah.
Everything you do with your mind affects your body.
I'm like, yes, that's also completely true. We solved it.
Wait a minute. My ad, I'm about to do an ad. Hey, guys. It's another ad for the FabFitFun box. Because the FabFitFun Fall Box, say that three times fast, is now on pre-sale. So if you sign up for FabFitFun today, you get your Fall Box. The FabFitFun Fall Box is in limited supply. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code, DORK, to get $10 off your first box. So if you go to FabFitFun.com, sign up, start getting the box. For a life well lived, you use the promo code DORK to get $10 off your first box. And that's over $200 worth of stuff for $39.99. So go to FabFitFun.com, use my code DORK, and get the $10 off your first FabFitFun box. It's super fun stuff. There's like a rollerball, and there's face stuff, and there's makeup, and there's, you can go, you can sort of look around FabFitFun.com and see all the different stuff that could possibly be in your box. Every month is different. There's standard stuff that comes pretty regularly, stuff, creams and stuff that need to be replenished, and they're full-sized. Anyway, go to FabFitFun.com, get $10 off your first box. Let's get back into the show. I'm talking, by the way, to Steve Young. It's at Steve Brett Young on Twitter. Go see his stand-up. At Studio Coach, Studio City Coach.
On Twitter.
Yes.
That's at Studio City Coach on Twitter, and then at Studio City Life Coach
on Instagram.
And there was a link to the self-help book that I wrote as Studio City Life Coach called The Studio City Life Coach's Holiday Survival Guide. And I will never write a book with a title that long again because, you know, but what, anyway.
Is it, does it get lost in the shelves?
Well, it's just like I want to be brought on stage. I want them to promote my book when they bring me on stage for stand-up, and then,
oh, right.
But I have to like write it down for them, or like the last time the guy just couldn't even remember, and he's like, he has a book. And then I just went out, and I'm like, I own one. I didn't write one, so.
How about just saying, introduce me that I have a life coach book, and then you could make fun of it and pitch it however you pitch it.
I mean, like, I have mixed feelings about that because I don't even want to get, like, I don't have, it's almost like it's sort of this thing I have to, like, wind up, I don't want to have to, like, clarify something.
Right.
To start my set by clarifying something that's confusing, so that's the only reason why I'm just, like.
Don't talk about it at all?
Not don't talk about it at all, but I mean, the way I solved it is on Sunday night, I just wrote it down for the MC, and she was just like, great, thank you, but I feel a little presumptuous doing that.
Well, she read the whole title of it.
Yes.
And then at the end, like if you were going to sell the book at your shows,
yeah.
Right? So if, because when you when it is long,
mm-hmm.
like, because if you have credits and the show is too long, they're either going to fuck it up or it's going to look weird as they try to read it off a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
That I was thinking that if you just because you're going to pitch it to sell it after the show anyway. Introduced to us, he's just
well, I haven't brought them. I haven't done that yet. I'm going to do that. I mean, because it's Christmas theme, so I mean, like,
right? Oh, okay. It's not a summer holiday. It's a winter holiday.
It's a
your life coach mocking book is
about the Jewish high holidays. How are we getting through Yom Kippur this year?
Right. How to sit Shiva with a decent and feel good about it. So I don't know. I don't know why I'm trying to fix it. Mostly because I try to fix things. And
we can look at that later.
We'll look at that later. Is there a book that'll stop me from doing that? It's a mansplaining thing that I've been addicted to all my entire life, and nothing to be
all these
about.
Guy comics have rubbed off on you.
It's right, just four brothers and a dad.
Yeah.
I think I've always been a little butch. And mansplaining is how it comes out. What else? I mean, so there's the physical, there's the reading of it.
What else about what? Studio City Life Coach or about PTSD stuff? Or
no,
just
but
in general?
Just about sort of because you wanted to talk self-help and I thought.
Oh, got it. Okay. I think what else? What else? Yeah, I think the stand-up comedy part of it has been huge, and I think I've been really inspired by, I mean, there have been a couple female comics that have talked about being raped in their stand-up, and I think it is.
It's super powerful, and
yes.
It can be hilarious.
It's fucking funny. Yeah, that's the thing about it. Like, it's not like they're not trying to turn this into a one-woman show. They're just like, they've got jokes about, they've got.
Right.
Really, like, blisteringly funny, like, and I think it
how
is.
How they survived, and how they, and what it. and what it turned into.
Yeah, I think there is something like so powerful about that. It's just like you did not get me. Like you did not. I mean, I don't. That's not the right way to put it, but just sort of like, you know,
You didn't destroy me. That's
exactly.
Not a bad way to put it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you can make jokes about it, it's sort of, and I've made this comparison before, is that like when Indiana Jones is being beaten mm-hmm. By the Nazis or the bad guys, they're mm-hmm. punching him and he's making quips. He's making jokes. Mm-hmm. It's like that. That's the movie I want to write. Is where a woman is being raped and she's like, I can't feel anything. Are you sure you're raping me?
Yeah.
You know, just something like where it's like, you don't win.
Yeah.
You are a horrible person yeah. and you don't win. Tank Girl was the closest that came to.
Yeah.
And but it's definitely, it's so powerful when anybody talks about anything real mm-hmm. in stand-up comedy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's interesting because I start my setup by talking about like all the hot guys I follow on Instagram and how I rank them, and it's fun. I think it sort of gets people on board with me because I come across as so it seems like I sound like a straight guy because there's one point where I just say I talk about these gorgeous guys and they try to sound like life coachy and they're inspirational memes. I'm like, take your shirt off, bitch. That's why I'm here. And I think like a lot of the women get on board with that because I'm talking like some sexist asshole, but I'm talking about other men. And I think that's, you know, good. And then it helps like the delicacy of stand up because it's not like you can't really open with a gay bashing, you know?
No. Right. And you have to introduce yourself.
Yes.
And you have to do it in a way that can relate to people. And then, but it's all, yeah, I don't know specifically how it's done. I just know how to do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is, and I know that you can't start with the gay bashing story.
Yeah.
Because nobody
and
wants
you
to.
You can't end with it either unless it happens three times.
Callback.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so hard to figure out how to discuss something real. And I say that I don't know a lot about the history of stand-up comedy, so I think that I would credit Richard Pryor for a yeah. guy that was super personal first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know – like I've tried to watch old stand-up comedy, but I can barely watch current stand-up comedy. I'm busy. Yeah. I got a life to lead. I don't want to watch your stand-up unless you're right in front of me.
Yeah.
And then I will thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
Or not. But you will have been on stage right in front of me.
Yeah.
And – So when somebody played a Richard Pryor album, I was mm-hmm. over at their house and I was like, and I remember listening to it and thinking that the Kings of Comedy had hacked this pretty bad.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't, it wasn't entirely so. Like, mm-hmm. it's almost like, because like sometimes I listen to Seinfeld and I think, it's hard for me to like some of those jokes because he's been co-opted so bad, the set of punch kind of way that he does it.
Yeah.
You have to really listen to the premises and mm-hmm. go, oh, okay, he's got his own observational take, which is why he's very good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think if you see enough stand, like I've been doing it for over 10 years and now I just feel like I want, you just get impatient. Even when people are good, I just sort of feel like, okay, I see, not, I don't know, like, I still laugh and all that, but I think like my taste level has been affected by doing it. Like I just want someone that's just pretty, you know, unique or just like is talking about, you know, some, a little more on the provocative side, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I know that there was certainly a time when I had a hard time processing, like I would be super judgmental, and it was probably right around 12 or 15 years in where I was like, yeah, yeah, I get what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. It's perfectly yeah. fine. I don't need to watch it. I get what you're doing. I don't like it. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And then I got over a hump where I was like, oh, everyone gets to do whatever they want. And I don't have to judge it at all. It doesn't have
payback,
anything to do with me.
It is payback for me for thinking that doing jokes about cutting was the most edgy and provocative stuff. I mean, it's just like, what?
There's probably an amazing joke about cutting that needs to be done. But,
I do like that Amy Schumer just ended her album with like, "Lady, oh, I'll leave you with this. My sister was a cutter. thank you. Good night, everyone. It's just like,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like that. That was good.
That is funny because of the twist there is that there was no punchline. Mm-hmm. That's the twist. And
let's dissect this, man.
Let's deconstruct this this cheeseburger and put it on a plate. So, yeah. So, people, this will go out Tuesday. Is there anything? Are you just doing LA shows for a little bit? Or are you going out?
Yeah, doing LA shows, and I am blanking on where I'm going up. So anyway.
Sure. So follow you on Twitter.
I'm good at the media, the updates, and I'm Hey Steve Young on Facebook. So Facebook.com/HeySteveYoung.
Okay. And, hey Steve Young.
Yeah.
And it's Steve Brett Young on Twitter.
Yeah.
And SteveYoungComedy.com.
Yes.
And Studio City Life Coach and Studio City Coach on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
So I did it. I read it out loud.
My gosh. Yeah, exactly.
Right from there.
And my social security number is
exactly. And
I'm a Sagittarius.
your mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
And your first animal. So, thank you so much for coming over.
Thank you. This is a blast.
Super fun. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?